Hey, everybody. It's Ash from Dear Jessamine. I just wanted to say really quickly that today is Giving Tuesday. And what that is like a community opportunity to all give a bunch of money to nonprofits at the same time. So if there's a nonprofit that you love or that you know does really great work and you have a little bit extra, please actually follow through with the instinct that you might have to like kick them some money because of the work that they do in just like making this world a little bit more sane, a little bit more just. It would mean a lot, I think, to you, even your community, your kids, if you have them. Like, the spirit of generosity can't be substituted for anything else. So if you're feeling it, if you have it to give, please think about doing that. Jessamine and I both worked in nonprofits for a long time growing up. Do it. Don't regret it. Have a great day.
This episode of Dear Jessamine has profanity, sex talk, weed smoking, and a bunch of other shit that's just not for everybody. You also may not agree with the stuff we say or how we say it, and we think that's great. We promote cannabis medicine to people over 21. If you're not 21, come back when you are.
It's weird because I'll be like not wanting to do this, and
yeah,
you know, we turn it on, I'm like, okay, here we go.
Oh no, I was like, are you acting? Is that why you're smiling?
No, I enjoy this show. I enjoy doing this show.
I do too.
Do you?
You know, I don't hate it.
Even with me?
I like working with you. I really do. I just think that there are different ways that the way that you work does not work with the way that I work. And I'm finding out how to communicate that to you.
Ditto. Back at ya.
Yeah. And I don't, there's some things that I've never questioned before.
Mm-hmm. Questioned? Like about us working together?
Well, just about the way that people work together. Like,
I see.
That you would not blow up at somebody. That you would find a different way to communicate that. I mean, I'm just saying. Like,
is that what you call what happens?
I think sometimes that characterizes it sometimes. And
but you've worked in restaurants. I would say the vast majority of people I've worked with in restaurants exclusively blow up at everyone.
I agree with that. And I did what I could to not have that type of interaction with people. Absolutely. And I really appreciated that experience for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that,
'cause you didn't really have that growing up. Or did you?
No, not in the house.
No.
No. The way that I learned to work, like to go to work with
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
was not okay to be aggressive with people or to be overly abrasive or to have fights with people. Like, that was to be avoided. And so that was my, I mean, like, I'm thinking like when
I'm learning from so much of your perception of me in this. I think it's curious.
Yeah. I mean, I think that working together is a lot of lessons for me about like expectations and about
communication
and about what I choose to share and not share. Like, sometimes I'm mad at you for expressing emotions that I want to express and don't feel that it's appropriate, and mm-hmm. frequently continue to feel that it's not appropriate, mainly because it's not productive. It feels like sometimes it gets in the way of getting shit done. Now, we've been listening to this book, The 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. I've been listening to, you've already read it before.
I'm reading it on loop.
They talk about how it's important to feel every emotion in leadership because
all the way.
It allows you to get to the next thing. And that if you don't, then you're stifling creativity and you are not able to produce at the rate that you would want to. And no one that you work with can either.
It's not so much that you can't produce at the rate that you want to. That is, if that's your goal, because it seems like that is your goal. That's not necessarily everybody's goal, but it is a very common goal in business to produce at a really high rate. But what's interesting about it, and I only throw this in here because I think it's important, that it's not teaching you how to produce at a high rate. It's teaching you how to get out of your own way from the things you want.
Mm-hmm. But I also think it gets in your own way to spend a lot of time like battling with people.
And I would say that if you grew up in a household where love was expressed through battling, where frustration was expressed through battling, where, you know what I mean? I think you would have a different relationship to it.
I agree with that.
All I'm saying is, like, we talk a lot, not a lot, enough about the concept of, like, a trauma-informed model of business. And, like, I think that you have a, there's, like, a collection of people who you work with, who work for you, who you've hired, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who, like, myself is, I mean, chief among them, I would say, is me, mm-hmm. who, if they really did some soul searching, would find that historically maybe they didn't work in every place that they worked super duper well. And maybe it wasn't always aggression or whatever, but that, like, this is kind of a, I feel like the table at summer camp of kids who... You know what I mean? Like, aren't like the doing other table. Things. It's not mm-hmm. necessarily the timeout table.
Some of them just, are at the timeout table.
It could be the table that is like, yeah, just like more, just like can hold more stuff. But I don't feel like, and it doesn't even matter who else. It's literally like, I feel that way about me and that my work is good and you like what I do, but you don't like how I conduct myself sometimes. And I get that. And that's literally been the story of my life. I swear to God, every teacher in school has pulled me out into the hallway to be like, you're just so smart, but
I believe you talk it. So much. Was it on all your report cards?
Yes.
I believe it.
A plus talks too much. A plus talks too much.
Oh my
a
fucking
B,
God.
B minus literally. Talks too much. I'm like, bitch, you're B for bitch. You're a liar. I did
then
that shit.
You come up to the class holding the report card. Like, and then another thing.
Yep.
Fucking interim.
But you know who I learned that from?
I know.
The one and only.
The OG.
My mother.
The original.
I remember she walked up into Miss Sampson's first grade class to tell that bitch about herself because she made me feel bad about myself. And she was like, my daughter's eclectic. You know what I mean? Like, my daughter has other shit going on than you can handle and understand. But it doesn't mean that you need to bully her into believing she's bad.
It's 11-11.
The point is, I appreciate every effort you make to understand me and to give me the kind of, like, support. Mm-hmm. Through guidance mm-hmm. of what you would prefer to see so that I can have the opportunity. And when that doesn't work or we don't need to or something changes or whatever, we won't work together anymore.
I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like real talk, something that has been so inspirational for me as a leader, as a coworker, is you telling me that you would love to have the experience of working at shows like 99% Invisible. And I'm like, yeah, no, I feel that. Like, you're extremely talented. And I think it makes sense to want to work on a show that's, like, really successful and mm-hmm. have that experience. But I also feel like in that environment, they're going to hold you to a standard.
That's the point.
I know. And so I'm like, I want to hold you to a standard. And that's where I'm reacting from.
I feel you. I think what is really cool about the nuance of this is the potential to tailor. Okay. So, like, what producer are you going to hire who's going to, like, travel behind you in your trip? You know, like, there's so mm-hmm. many things that make this so specific mm-hmm. that we can get such specific things done. Mm-hmm. And, like, I can tailor my work to be collaborative, to be available to collaborate with you mm-hmm. and you with me. You know what I mean? And I think what gets us in the weeds a little bit sometimes is, like, the you with me part. Like, I remember mm-hmm. I was re-listening to an old episode and you said something about, like, I open my yoga practice to you, or I open, you know, my yoga in the mornings to you. And I was like, I open my yoga to you. You know what I mean? Why do you think that, like, because you're world-renowned Jessamyn Stanley yoga teacher extraordinaire, like, that I am coming to you to practice yoga long before I even met you? Do you know what I mean? But the perspective is such, it's so weighted and stacked in this direction. You're bored by this.
I'm not bored by it.
That was a question.
I'm not bored by what you're saying. I have opinions that I want to express, and I'm sure you can see that on my face, but I'm trying to receive you.
It just feels like, it feels like sometimes I react about this. Like, sometimes I'm reacting from, like, there are certainly things that, you know what I mean? There are things that are imbalanced. Like, there are things that are naturally, like, hierarchical, I guess, if you will. And then there are things that don't need to be that way. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just, like, easier or something to do them that way. And I resist. Mm. I resist it. In my soul, in the cells in my body, I resist that idea. Because I'm a cardinal fire sign. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I don't do that, because it's not what I'm here for. And so, it's interesting that you said the thing about 99% Invisible, because yes, I love that show, but also I feel like you have this tinge of like, well, you want to work for somebody else. It must mean you're not tenacious or something, you know? I'm putting that, you didn't say that.
Yeah.
But it feels like that's kind of like you're greedy entrepreneur. You know what I mean? Like you know what I mean? Mm.
Whatever. Oh, interesting.
Never mind.
I mean, I don't think never mind. I think that's very interesting. I mean, I also think this isn't what we are technically supposed to be talking about right now, but I don't. Yeah. Thank you. Cause I'm like,
well,
this is what was happening right before we got on the air. And we're in a very unique position wherein we have a romantic personal relationship and a professional relationship. And that is a very complicated dynamic to hold. Even when one of you doesn't pay the other one money for services, and that client relationship, what's the client contractor relationship, mm-hmm. is even more complicated. And I am not interested in hierarchy. I'm also a cardinal sign, but I'm cardinal water sign. Mm-hmm. And so I understand that I am a leader and everyone's a leader. We're all the same. We all are powerful and strong. And I don't feel like I need to enforce myself on top of people. What I frequently get, though, and okay, to specifically speak to what you're saying about like, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm greedy.
I said gritty. Oh my God, I would know.
I mean, I think greedy is a not unreasonable thing to say. Like,
gritty. I did not say greedy.
I'm definitely gritty. And I do know that like, in order to build your own business, you have to dig in. Like mm-hmm. you have to, there's going to be lessons. I'm constantly being asked to learn lessons that I don't want to learn. And like, that I don't think I should have to learn because I've gotten by this far without them. So I think I'm fine, but obviously not. And in order to elevate,
where you wanna go, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's like, if you want to go up, you have to move out, like you have to grow out of the skin. And so I think that we have a lot of experiences where I am the only one who can hold you to that standard. There's nobody else who is at
me.
The same level.
Me.
You also
me.
You
legit, only me. Not
only
even you.
Fucking you. Literally, no, literally though. Only you. Singularly you. Thank you for correcting me. Oh my God. And so that's when I get an attitude problem, is when I'm like, well, now I got to hold this bitch to a standard. Like, I can't just be like, you know what? I feel you. Like, we're running late. Like, it's no big deal. You want to look at this thing? Like, I get it. It's funny. Let's look at it. It's our work. This is also our work. I get that you want to look at that. But I'm at the exact same time, like, I'm your client who is being inconvenienced by this. And I don't think that it's appropriate to do that, period. And it's very frustrating to not have you just be holding yourself to that standard, to where I don't need to have that reaction. Mm.
It's real shit, man.
So how are you doing, Ash?
Shall I say what I'm inviting?
Please.
Yesterday I wrote down the word backbone, which I've invited in before. It's just something that I'm frequently noticing. I could use some strengthening around, but also I'm just like having this, yeah, it's like back and core. It's just like, who am I? What do I stand for? Kind of stuff right now, which I think a lot of people are typically dealing with, but also this is a really rich time of reflection, I think, for people who are dealing with some things that they maybe haven't or don't typically, pandemic, quarantine, all that was like a Kickstarter. I think a lot of people quitting their jobs. I said to, I was talking to a colleague, Fred, the other day. she was talking about anxiety. She's like, my life is perfect. I love everything. Like, why would I have anxiety? Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't need this. You know, she works out. Like, she does everything I would say, like, oh, are you doing this? Are you doing that to get rid of your anxiety? She like works out every day. She, you know, I'm just, and it dawned on me. I was like, you hate your job. Yeah. If you hate your job, even though you're good at it, even though you get high marks or whatever, you get paid well, all of the different things people think they want. If you don't like what you do, it doesn't give you life.
Literally.
You're going to have anxiety because your body's like, stop doing this.
Stop doing this. Don't this. Immediately. Don't do this. Don't stop do this. This. It's so it's bad. Don't do
We're
it.
Not doing this. Literally. Please stop. Anything.
Please
not.
Stop. It's like, don't. I will get sick on you. Don't think I won't get sick on you.
So anyway, I don't know why I brought that up, but oh yeah, just the question of like, what am I doing? I don't really know how to gauge what feels good, which I think is something I realized recently. Like, we're in Greensboro, Jamestown with your parents, parked in their driveway, and I'm like going into Durham, which is like an hour commute. Carpooled each with somebody way. Each way. I carpooled with somebody one day, which just kind of felt a little complicated, cumbersome. Mm-hmm. They live halfway between. And, you know, it's just like, does this feel good? So then I'm in the office and I like have everything I need, you know, and one of the days I was really productive and one of the days I was not, you know? And so it's just like, what feels good? What is right? What am I missing something? Is there, you know what I mean? Do I need to do something differently? And I think working out in the morning is like a real obvious kind of no brainer. I don't give it to myself. I feel like if I can't do it perfectly, then I don't do it or something. And that's not ideal. Mm-hmm. I can run. I love running. I can run around here. I have a jump rope. I really want to get into jump roping. Like, so good for you. But anyway, all of that together, I feel like I'm sitting in a pile of like question marks, which isn't like they're pokey and like, you know, doesn't feel good. What are you inviting in, Jessamine?
I feel like I have a lot to say about what you just said. Namely asking you is, how do you feel when we work together?
How do you mean work together?
Like work side by side at the same time in the same place.
Amazing. If we had like it depends, right? Because sometimes it'll be like hard, like meeting somebody will have to leave. It'll be a lot of transition. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just a lot of transition from one thing to another. If you're meeting, then I have to go outside to meet or whatever, you know. I think that when our schedules can line up or we have open day, when we have open days and I can be like editing and like sometimes playing footsie with you, it's my dream come true. But if we're out in a space where we can both do anything we need to do and not have to do so much moving or changing locations. Although, you know, they say standing up is good for you. I don't know. I like to get in a really intense hole with editing specifically. When we can do that, it's dope. But I don't know. I mean, the other thing is I'm listening to myself say all these like, well, circumstantially speaking, if it was this way, it'd be better. And like, that doesn't exist. You make what is. It's all your perception, you know? And so I want to just be like, yes, it's great and make it great and it be great. That's the thing though about being distracted, because I feel like I have ADD. I'm just like, I don't choose to be distracted. You said something about like, it's to be avoided blowing up at people. Just feels so full of choice.
It's just another system to follow, you know? It's just another thing. It's a set of standards. It's like, okay, so this is how I'm going to comport myself. This is how I'm going to conduct myself. And it's literally like, you just have to obey the rules.
I've never been able to. I remember being like a tiny little kid, first grade. I mean, this is when my mom I was watching her confront people about this, but like, I didn't choose to not behave. I hated getting in trouble. You know how much I hate disappointing people?
I think it's something that has to be reinforced at a really young age. I think it's like learning a language.
Literally.
Like, well, if you don't, and then, but you can like learn a language later, but you have to really.
Yeah. But you notice, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like my little brain developed around such chaos.
Literally. You know? I mean, for real, without reinforcement of like, don't fucking do that. Stop doing that. You don't even have to say fucking.
Who's gonna tell me that?
No, that's what I'm saying. There was nobody saying that. What I'm saying is I agree with you and I feel you. And I don't think I have to remind myself of this. But to your point about having a trauma-informed workplace or like a trauma-informed, we have to have a specifically trauma-informed HR department because I get what you're saying and how this impacts how you show up at work, that you're coming from a place where you didn't have somebody like I don't remember, but at a young age, my mom was popping me on the mouth.
Mom, auntie, other auntie, grandma.
Exactly.
Dad,
and it's happening by everybody in the community.
Yeah.
And it has to happen that way. And it has to happen from the very beginning. And you see people with their kids when it has not happened.
Yeah.
And they're literally just like, I mean, I'm thinking about people who like got kids that are, you know, they know.
Lesbian it's like parenting.
It's a lot of different parenting. No, and they all know, you
could,
know.
Anybody can, any demographic could be a lesbian parent, if you know.
That's
that
exactly
mean.
Right, literally.
And a lot of lesbians are not lesbian parents.
But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is that I think that there's a dual responsibility, that at least there's a responsibility on my part. And that's the only thing that I can really control, is that I need to meet you where you are.
Well, I think on the note of just wasting time, I mean, like, there's this piece of me that's just like, God, if we could just get our communication down, you know what I mean? There'd be all this shit that we don't have, you know, that doesn't end up like, that we don't have conflict about, basically. And it sounds like I'm saying, if you could just say it right to me, then I won't blow up. But it is also me. If I could get my communication down where I'm like, what you're saying right now does not work for me. And that matter to you, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, it's about my communication also. But I'm just like, sometimes I just get like really activated in this way that I'm just like, I can't see how what you're doing is anything other than really harmful to me intentionally, mm-hmm. you know? And you're not intentionally being harmful.
I'm literally not.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's astro thought of the week. It's you are Aries. Like, you are ruled by Mars, god of war. Like, it's the thing. It's your starting place. It's like, this must be something that it must be a battle. And that is just exhibited over and over and over again. And it makes so much sense to me. I'm just like, in our personal life, I'm like, okay, cool. I'm gonna meet you there. Mm-hmm. You want to fight? We can fight. I will be like,
you know, I don't want to fight.
But so ever. That's the thing. I'm like, that's
I don't actually want to fight.
Yeah.
I feel like I am Aries so that I can be brave enough to live this life. Yeah. But what happens is that any excess or like untrained or like unstable or ungrounded pieces of me go to fight. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? God, yoga, meditation.
Yeah.
Just like, damn. There's so many options like that are free and here and at my fingertips and like not
it doesn't
going
matter. Like, you are who you are, you know. Those practices are only going to show that to you more clearly. And what you decide to do is something else. But like, I don't know. I hear what you're saying about like, oh, if I do this thing in the morning, or like if I have this work environment, or if this thing happens, but it's like there's never a constant. It's always changing. And like, just getting used to the change, that is what yoga helps with, I think. It's just being like, it's going to change, so just don't get used to it.
This is how we've spent our energy today.
Yeah, no, literally. What I'm inviting in this week is patience with myself first. And I see all the different ways that I'm impatient with myself, and then other people feel impatient. And you talk about it in the sense of like me being really judgmental of my, or you talk about feeling judged by me mm-hmm. a lot. And I hear that and I hate it because I judge myself, and I'm just like, when you've said, we've had some very honest conversations recently.
Yeah.
And
it's been life altering.
Yeah. It's, and actually, okay. Yes. So I guess I'll wait. I just, all of this, I think, is underneath the category of the, we are in a full moon in Aries. Yeah. And I feel really grateful for that, because we're in, okay. So what it is, it's this two part thing. I actually think it's probably a couple different things, but well, it's everything, but, Mercury is stationed direct. So it was retrograde. And the thing about it stationing direct is that during this time that it was retrograde, all this shit got kicked up. Mm-hmm. And then when it runs back direct, you're like, wait a minute. So what how we were doing before is also right. I love everybody knowing about astrology too, because we can like be more tuned into what's yes. going on. But you're like in this place of, okay, so it's okay for things to just be haywire. And then Aries is bringing out this like brash boldness, openness, like just fucking do it-ness, like courage. It's bringing up like, you know what? You could just go for it, because ultimately, like, what's worse that could happen?
Like, it doesn't really matter. And I think that energy is really helpful for having those frank conversations, mm-hmm. frank dialogues. And we've talked about how you feel judged by me, and I don't want to be judging myself so harshly. But also at the exact same time, I want to just accept that I'm doing that and not be so concerned with trying to do anything different. It's just like, just look at it all the way without squinting and even without judgment, just gaze. So that's what I'm trying to do.
Do you ever talk to yourself like intentionally?
How do you mean?
I'm just thinking. So my life coach who, I didn't have a session last week. Question mark? Let me text somebody about that. I will sometimes be saying something and she'll like she'll be like, so this is how you would say that without judgment. And she gives me the opportunity to repeat after her if I want to. And I'll say something like, you know, you can do better next time or whatever. She'll like, hey, I noticed that you had said you wanted to do one thing and then you did this other thing. Period.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And so what's really neat is the surrender required to repeat after somebody when they're correcting your language. So I was just wondering if you ever do that, because you talk about judging yourself really hard, but I wonder if you ever practice anything different.
No. And I've actually just been like wondering what it is that can be done differently. I feel like that's a great technique.
So like, what's a way that,
okay. So a way that I judge myself, I judge like whether or not I get everything done on my calendar. So I'll be like, damn, like I didn't get anything done. And the way to say that, I think, without judgment is to say, hey, so I'm literally doing Mad Libs.
Mental health.
Hey, so I saw that you didn't finish everything that was on your list, on your calendar today.
Any change can be like, oh, you know what I mean? Even just thinking, even just this concept of accepting, that's what the process is, I think, is like, okay, so if it's like this, then what? Well, I would say it this way. You know what I mean? Like, it's like all just an opening.
Literally. But I also think it's an opportunity to practice compassion, to actually like understand the situation. Similar to me and the way I'm reacting to you, like when we're having an aggressive conversation in the workplace. I don't know how you would describe it. When we're having a fight at work, specifically when we're getting the show ready. Like, I'm coming at it from a place of like, this isn't how I thought things were going to go.
Yeah.
This reflects poorly on me. It reflects on me as a
because person. There's a right way and a wrong way.
Because there's a right way and a wrong way, and this is the wrong way. Yeah. And then the way that you're reacting to me is inappropriate is the first word that comes up. And rude and unprofessional. And but what could be said is like, oh, okay. So like, I noticed that you're feeling agitation. Why are you feeling agitation?
Or even just like, I noticed that you raised your voice and you're speaking short, like curtly. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like
because you don't know how I'm feeling.
Oh, like, I'm not even saying.
The way to get sort of away from even thinking that. What were you saying?
I was saying like what I say to myself, but like,
I'm sorry.
I feel like, I get into this place of like trying to change you or fix you when really it's me just needing to talk to myself. And like, I feel like I just love this framework that you're suggesting, totally. Which is like just a statement of fact about what's happening.
Yes.
That's like, it's not judgmental. It's in a deeply Aquarian way of approaching it. It's like, so I just noticed this thing.
It just divorces the feelings. I mean, you love to compartmentalize anyway. I feel like it's like a tool in a toolbox. It's the vast majority of what I learned in dance movement therapy training was just nonverbal communication. Mm-hmm. And the nonverbal communication, we would say, what the fuck was it? It was like this binary system of like, I can't remember the words used, but the practice was to state what we observed, observations versus something, interpretations maybe. Mm-hmm. But what we would observe is like the person is, you know, whatever, putting their foot down hard or something like that. Stomping. Yeah, maybe stomping, we could say, but like not the person's angry or walking angrily. Do you know what I mean? And that was the whole repetitive practice. We just watch people move and do different things. They would be given a prompt and we just have to say, objectively speaking, what is occurring. And the reason we were training our brains to do that is because dance movement therapy is all about a therapist watching you move your body and talking to you about the emotions that must be trapped inside of you based on how you're moving and not moving. So nonverbal communication skills were the only, basically the whole of what you're learning. Anyway, I say all that to say, I think similarly, you can do that with yourself, like observe what your body is doing and then make it objective so that like you can divorce the feelings from it and the judgment and the shame of it. Because that's what happens for me is it's like unprofessional is an abstract thought that I know I'm bad at and I'm triggered by, essentially. Because I can't keep jobs, and I, if I can't keep a job, I can't pay the rent, and I will die, you know, et cetera. So that is a really hard concept to grasp in a moment like that for me, whereas like, hey, you're raising your voice, not sure why. That is a statement of fact. Have I raised my, I did. Okay, my voice was raised, it's true, you know? And then I can say, golly, I'm being unprofessional or something, you know? But that like, this kind of this, and it's not that like it's your job to figure that out. It's literally my job to know that and be like, either ignore somehow that you think I'm unprofessional, or say, hey, like, is there a different way you could talk to me about this? Because this is a struggle for me to reach you on this plane. Or can we not talk about this right now? Because I'm struggling to hear you or something. Like, that's my job, you know? And then it's just becomes a collaboration when we're both working, just in case the other person isn't, you know, tippy top of the game. The other thing I cannot help but say right now is that something that has also occurred concurrently with this conversation is that we've been smoking weed.
Oh my God.
I don't know why we continue to try to start working before weed. Literally. We had so much time in bed this morning just being sweet and lovely and loving each other and having a nice morning and talking, getting deep and loving life and learning more about it, living, laughing, loving, talking, fighting, fucking
breathing.
And we did not use that breath to smoke weed. And that's just a note for myself.
I also feel like we don't have time to talk about what we were technically supposed to talk about. Yeah, literally deep supposed to. But I feel like I got a lot of this conversation, and I feel like it's, I mean, because it is something that is a huge part of our work life and a huge part of our personal life too. And it's hard to straddle all these lines. And like, I think that it looks...
That sucks. Whatever. Kylie, it seems like it stopped recording for a sec. It's fine. We're back on.
It's okay. I mean, shit happens. You know what I mean?
I know.
And
I
it's like
I'm not
learning
hard
from
on
it.
Myself. I just wanna...
I feel like you are growing. I am growing. And it's just all in there together. I think that it's hard to straddle all these lines of being romantic partners. And being...
I like straddling that line.
That line is very interesting. But being professional partners is really hard. And I am very curious about how other people do it.
Because it really doesn't take away any of the being in love that I have for you.
No, well, that's the thing is that love is complicated and hard and difficult sometimes. Totally. And like, I think that people think that you should like break up whenever something bad happens.
We think like, that sometimes.
No,
we think we should break up.
I'll be like, let's break up right now.
So and like, is that what you want? That's what you want? That's what we're going to do? Is that what we're doing? Are we doing it this time?
Yeah,
is that what
I mean, I don't want to break up. But I think that people are like, you should break up if it sucks. And I'm like, I mean,
what if you worked
I mean,
it?
There are situations I think where you should break up. And we
You're
might.
Right. It doesn't go without saying.
Come to it. But I feel like, you know, it's not ultimately sometimes that's why you're together is to learn a lesson.
A really hard one.
A really
that
hard
sucks.
One. That. Oh, that
hurts,
sucks. Literally.
Burns and stings.
And it's like old. Y'all just got together and these are old wounds.
Right,
what the fuck?
Right.
Yeah. But the Astro Thought of the Week. Couple of them.
Let's have it.
Literally, according to Chani app, the full moon is happening right now. It's the middle of the day on Wednesday in North Carolina. It
I know she did say that it was going to be like later in the day for like it would actually be happening at its fullest point later in the day on the 20th. It's bringing out the courage, which is just amazing. Mercury station direct.
What's y'all's excuse now?
I was never using that as an excuse, honestly. I feel like I'm always trying.
I've been thinking about that tweet that you tweeted yesterday. You're like, Mercury station direct. What's y'all's excuse now? It's just been like reverberating in my head. I'm like, what is my excuse? It's a great question, Jessamyn Stan.
You're good. God damn it. Okay. You're such a troll.
Also love me. You know, I feel like this is a really trolly work atmosphere. I was trying to explain to a friend of mine how Kylie trolls us constantly and how much I adore it. Like, there's nothing you could do that could make me
I think that's the only way to go about it is like, you have to find the joke. Like, yeah. It's like there's something, and sometimes the joke is on somebody
frequently. And another thing I learned in this book, just to keep it real Aquarian, or Gemini, I guess I have a fact I need to share with you. Yeah, but...
Tell me.
It's that if you can't laugh in any given scenario, it's because you're holding back. It's because you are obsessed with being right. Mm-hmm. Any scenario, if you can't laugh.
And you're identifying with your pain.
Yes. And they even say, even shitty, horrible, they're not saying you should be laughing at things. They're saying if there's any circumstance you're holding back, and if you're holding the line of morality or you're holding the line of whatever it is, any time that you cannot find some kind of humor. And it's wild because you say this. You're like, at the end of the day, everything is funny. And that's what they're saying in this book too. They're like, if you can't find the humor, you're holding some line. Mm-hmm. You're being right. You're staying obsessed with being right.
And sometimes you have to.
Yeah, of course.
It's really important to, in the same vein of feel your feeling all the way through. Feel your feelings. It's like, sometimes it's not funny. It's not funny. But it is, everything is funny.
There are things that have happened to me that I know there would never have been a question of if I could find humor in it or laugh about it. And I do now. And it feels like healing. And so there is some universe where like what they're saying is infinitely true, that like if you could laugh at anything, everything, you know, and I'm just like, no. But there are things that I was like, literally like, I mean, like assaults, you know what I mean? Like bad things that I'm like, who could laugh at anything like that? I don't know. I've heard some like good rape jokes. You know what I mean? Punching up style. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody can make fun of it like the person who survived it. Literally. Like, nobody. And that's the thing sometimes also, is that the joke is not for everybody.
Yes.
It is not for everybody. Yes. It's a part of healing.
Yes.
And I don't think that healing needs to be done in mixed company. No, like, exactly. I'm like, in a group of survivors, you say what the fuck you want to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I don't know how we got here. Wow.
No, it's a... Well, I did. There's a question in this document that says, have we noticed the changing astrology in the RV versus at home? I've noticed the changing astrology more, I think, which I think has more to do with the fact that at this stage in my life, I'm more interested in astrology than I have ever been. Yeah. And I'm more tuned into it because of shit like the Chani app.
But have you given yourself the spaciousness? There's something about moving in the RV that I think every single thing that's happened since we moved into the RV, even like your deepening love of astrology, that I know I have to and can associate with choosing this lifestyle so that we have the space to do that thing. Mm-hmm. Any kind of wellness practice, any kind of reflecting, all the meditation I've done, I'm like, yeah, because we moved into an RV so that I can meditate. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? This is another principle in the book where they're like, every single thing on earth is conspiring for your growth and healing, especially the things that are the hardest. And it's a choice to believe this. And if you believe this, it will be true because that's your perception and you have a choice. Mm-hmm. But like all the hardship, all of it, whatever, like when you get through it, are you not stronger? So why wasn't that the universe conspiring for your strength?
It literally was.
And so similarly, all this anyway.
Long-winded. No,
I talk a lot. This is chatty weed. We got a new weed today. And it's like, I'm like,
I don't know why you gotta talk shit about yourself. I was listening to what you were saying. I feel like we also, I feel more in tune with the weather now and more in tune with the, just, I feel more in tune with the planetary alignment. Like, I feel like more clear on what is going on and than I did before. But I mean, also, I just don't know about before, you know, versus even.
Exactly.
Like, it's all the same. And it's all, that time is happened, is happening, was needed. This time is needed, and I'm knowing less now than I will know later, or feeling less. I'll feel less in tune at some point, maybe later today. I don't know. You know, so, but I think that this, it doesn't really matter, like, physically where I am, where you are, because
geographically.
Yeah, like being at home or being like on the road. It's like, it's all the same. Like, you are where you, you are who you are, regardless. That's something that I've really noticed from being at home, is that
being back here in Greensboro,
being back, well, being in this whole area, being, I'm thinking of like North Carolina.
Yeah.
Especially in Durham. I think I feel it even more in Durham. Oh my God. Ran into a friend at Joe Van Gogh that I haven't seen in a long time. And I found myself again, like reverting, regressing into this, like, oh, like, I don't know how to talk to people. And, you know, like, now I feel like I'm being aware of that at least enough to be able to see it. And so, but I think that in general, like, the awareness, the presence, the change that is happening, that is happening regardless of where I physically am on the globe or how I am living my life.
Well, I think also, like, it's information, it's data. When the thing happens at Joe Van Gogh, it's like, oh, so this is my range. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be like, now I'm here. It can be like, oh, I take up this kind of space. I'm here and here at the same time, you know? I think.
Yeah.
Speaking of being here and here.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Durham and upload this stuff for Kylie and miss you. And then come home.
Yeah, okay. Let's get the fuck out of here.
I love you.
I love you too.
I'll catch you later.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Dear Jessamine is produced by Tenderfire Media. For more on our show, follow us on Spotify and Instagram at Dear Jessamine, or head over to our website, DearJessamine.com. If you're an Apple Podcast person, you can subscribe to our show. And while you're there, write us a review. They help us out a lot and give you a place to let folks know how you feel about our show. Who the hell is on our team? Kylie C. Roberts is our editor slash producer. Angel Foster and Naya Williams do our social media. Janie Leppard draws our art, and Fruit Snack plays our theme song. Anna Rooney is my chief of staff. Amber Richardson is Ash's chief of staff. Ash Danger Phoenix is my co-host and co-producer, and I am Jessamine Stanley. We believe that no one should be in jail for weed.
Tenderfire.
Drop page.